Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom, like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Real Spoilers, powered by ReviewSTL.com.
Warning, the following film discussion will ruin the ending of any movie you haven't seen. Example, Bruce Willis is dead at the end of The Sixth Sense. See how I ruined it for you? Just like that. Here are a few more.
Silent breed is people!
I am the father.
Get it?
Real Spoilers. You've been warned.
Broadcasting from the lush but not lavish studios located in the basement of the O'Keefe Institute for Advanced Film Snarkitude, this is Real Spoilers, episode 315. I feel like that should mean something.
I know. It does seem significant, and I don't know
why.
The
time I used to get out of school.
There you go.
We went to Catholic schools. I didn't get out at 3. We always got out at weird times. Like 2:55 or 3:15. Yep. Yeah, it was weird.
Huh.
We also had to wear funny clothes. So we are a wounded beast this week. We are down 2.
Did Dan enlist?
Yeah.
National Guard?
He's off gallivanting, I do believe.
Oh.
And then Joe is out still working doubles because of the protests in St. Louis. Mm. So we'll go around the table quickly.
Oh, I'm Kevin.
And it's Tom. Okay, so, but then we have a guest. So Brad has joined us. He came in with a big bag of money for all the LEAP refunds.
I do not have that.
We figured while he was here, dropping it off.
You can just leave the cash here, and then that way when people swing by to pick up their refund, we'll just put, and then when we run out of money, we'll let you know, and you can come back and replenish.
Just do like a weekly drop, like a cash truck at the bank, you know?
We'll keep a strict accounting. We'll have them sign receipts, and I mean, it's all in the up and up.
Yeah. I got nothing.
And that's a write-off.
I'm not going to get out of this.
I'm pretty sure you can write that off. Like, that's a refund given.
Yeah, you start
it's
an LLC,
my
and it becomes like a tax write-off.
Yeah.
So
all that mileage. Keep track of your mileage driving over here with the money.
Yeah, we're doing you a favor.
Yeah.
I'll start a petition on the League of Show Shares if who's seen it, and then we'll hammer out the details.
Okay. You should be thanking us, really. So, I guess before we dig in, shameless plugs. Don't forget we're available on iTunes. You can go there, rate, review, subscribe. We greatly appreciate it. It helps us tremendously. We have a review.
Oh.
We have a new review coming right at you. This review is from Tub Thumping Empress.
Oh, wow.
So
is she the heir to the Chumbawamba Fortune?
To the Chumbawamba Fortune. Correct.
Wow.
Yes. So,
congratulations.
There's not much left, though. They spent it all on a vodka drink and a lager drink. And
a cider drink,
cider
I think.
Drink, yep. Yeah. I mean, they just drank it all.
I think they started off, I mean, shouldn't they have started off with the cider drink because it's lighter? Like, go to the harder drinks later once you're, you know.
I think maybe they're trying to, like, ramp back down. They start off crazy.
Wow.
And now they're trying to pace themselves.
It's like a hair of the dog type thing.
Correct.
Like they've gotten crazy and they're, okay, I like it. De-escalating the situation.
Precisely.
Nice.
So the subject line on this review says, a good old time. I decided to give this podcast a listen after seeing it and wanting to hear some reviews. I tend to be a bit particular about podcasts, so I didn't get to listen to as many reviews as I wanted, but this podcast never once gave me pause. P-A-U-S-E, not like she didn't...
Not rock dog.
Transmorph into a... Yeah. This is a truly wonderful podcast. The personalities are witty, fun, and very knowledgeable on the topics they cover. Plus, whenever a podcast features some good trivia sprinkles throughout, it's just golden. These guys are a joy to listen to. So thank you.
Oh, that thanks, Mom.
That was... Yeah, that was very nice of her. So I'm assuming it's a her because it said Empress.
Right.
Yeah, I mean...
I mean, we're not... judging. It's
sure,
just,
you could be both.
Either way, yeah.
Also, don't forget, you can go to our Facebook page, facebook.com/realspoilers. And while you're there, you could join the League of Show Sharers, people who were kind enough to share the show with a friend and or loved one this week. Librarian Cynthia, Bud Vogelton, Jason Herndon, Chris James, Jason Weesey, Lane LeVanway, Griffin Foxsmith, Zach Bach. Well, it's weird to say your name. You're sitting here. You shouldn't get to say. I shouldn't have to say your name. You're excluded.
Okay.
It's like when people share their own episode. You don't count. You shared an episode you were on. I'm not giving you credit for that. Richard Lawson, Cherry Vondelore's Musings. I think this is the same girl last week who had the name that we weren't sure how to pronounce, but I think she must change her Facebook name frequently or something, because it's
just to screw us up.
I don't know. The pictures look. I think it was the same person based on the pictures, but there was a totally different name.
Is it like a poetry page or a person, a poet? Is it musings? Like they're
I don't know because since I'm not friends, I really can't see. Okay. But the pictures look like she does cosplay and stuff.
Oh, cool.
If she doesn't do cosplay, that was a really mean thing to say. But so hopefully she does cosplay or I'm a real dick.
No, I think I remember when we saw the like or the share the first time. I think it was a cosplayer.
Yeah,
she was. I'm not saying the profile was of a cosplayer. I wasn't calling her an it, let's be clear.
Right, like the profile
was
where the pronoun had attached.
Gotta be careful nowadays. Yeah. I mean, you saw that Mel Brooks interview and, you know, talking about the politically correct culture. And it's just sad that we even think that way. I mean, we're tending to joke. We don't really care. But the fact that we think in that manner that we might offend someone by saying something that is totally not meant to be offensive is just a clue that
the pronouns are a hate crime.
Yes.
Yeah. So other people that share: Tammy Sherman Powers, Dustin at Nerds at Night Gaming, Travis Tewitt, Chris Sanders, Brent Smith, Brandon Coleman, Tom Kaminsky, Julianne Jordan, and Chris Delay. So I believe that's a new one, right?
Yeah.
So
Dan will send you
He'll send you an MP3 of your welcome song. I always feel bad when people share for the first time and Dan's not here to.
Yeah, was there not Troy? I talked to Troy, the newest
well, if his privacy settings are
And this is a good time to revisit that. Like, so if you share the show and you don't hear your name mentioned, it's probably because of your privacy settings. So if you have your privacy settings on lockdown, which, hey, I got an ex-wife, I get it. But it can prevent, if I'm not friends with you on Facebook, then I won't see that you shared it. So,
and I think what a lot of people do in the league is they set the share the post to public. Like, you don't have to unlock your whole profile. It's not like change your entire life for us. But if you post it, you can just go to the little drop down on Facebook, and instead of, like, it usually is defaulted to share with friends and family, just make it public, just that post. But you know, you don't have to do that for everything, so don't worry about that. But if you want your name read, either you got to be Tom's friend on Facebook or you have to make your post public.
Right. And you can always just friend me at facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. It's unless your profile picture makes you look like a Chechen hooker. Like, then there's like a 50-50 chance.
Yeah, I was going to say, you don't just automatically decline those.
No.
Yeah.
I want to make sure that they're real Chechen hookers. I don't want
the fake ones. Yeah.
Right. Yeah.
Well, maybe it'll work out next week when Dan's back and he'll actually get a song.
It could be. Fingers
it'll be
crossed.
For the better.
Yeah. So, anyway, I guess that is all your shameless plugs. We will now turn our eyes to the box office. Kevin has his abacus at the ready, Kevin.
I do, Tom, and it is one of those weeks. Once again, it doesn't happen that often, but sometimes we get a movie that's number one that came out, and it is the movie of the day. Well, we usually do have a movie that's number one.
We're pretty good about it.
But that just came out. You know, it's like 50-50. The slow time has, I think we've been a little used to the slow time where it's like, wow, it and its third week and whatever, Spider-Man Homecoming and its 12th week. Yeah. It's like, you know, at the top. But today it's Kingsman: The Golden Circle, the movie of the day. It opened to an estimated $40 million, and that is on a $104 million budget. So they really stepped the budget up on this one.
And spent it in all the wrong places.
Well, we'll get into that one a little bit later. But the first one did open to $36 million, so this is a bigger opening, but not by very much, especially with how beloved the first one was.
Right.
I would have expected a larger opening. So
yeah, and I know it hasn't been getting good reviews, but I would think if you're a Kingsman fan, you would write that off.
This is immune to... This movie should be immune to reviews.
Because I would think most critics probably didn't like the first one. So if, like you said, if you liked the first one and, you know, I don't know, I'm trying to think of a famous movie. A.O. Scott at the New York Times tells you that this is a bad movie. You're like, go screw yourself, A.O. Scott. You don't get it, man. Yeah. So it's like, I wouldn't think the reviews would affect the box office on a film like this. So
yeah.
I don't know what that means.
I'm not, I'm really not sure why it's such a weak opening, especially with, I know that, you know, we've had some big movies like It, but that was 3 weeks ago. I think last weekend was kind of light, and the weekend before that, I believe, was kind of light. Like, we've had some light weekends. I would think people would be clamoring for a good action movie.
This demo's young. This demo's male. So they're just a top-tier moviegoer, and I wouldn't think, even though it still had a great weekend, but this fan base, if they wanted to see It, they've already seen it.
Sure.
Like, it's been out for... What, this is his third week, right?
Yeah.
So, like, they've already seen this movie, like, that movie. Like,
it shouldn't be stealing people away from this.
Not at this point, no.
No. So, it's interesting. So, we'll see what it does in the following weeks, especially with the reviews that are coming out. But we'll have to wait and see. Number two, It. Speaking of It, Stephen King's It, that is.
I hate the name.
I know.
I hate the name of this movie.
You know what? It's a perfect... This movie is a perfect example. I say it's so hard to talk about, but someone on Facebook posted the other day. They said, you know, I'm going out to dinner and then going to see It. And they lowercased it. It wasn't even a capital.
Right.
They just typed it and probably their phone automatically. When you write It, it's not going to capitalize, right? And so it really did take... This post really did... I'm going to try to say it without saying It.
Right.
It's hard. This post really took me a second to understand what they were talking about because I, you know, especially without quotes or italicized or capitalization.
Or Stephen King's It or something. Yeah.
But going to see It, period. And I was like, what are they going to see? And I thought, oh, they're going to see the movie It.
I don't think the publisher would have ever let him name the book that in if it had come out after Google.
Yeah.
I think they would have been like,
sure.
No way in hell are you naming a book after a pronoun in the age of internet searches.
Right. There's no way. And we talked about I think they are clever with their algorithms and they've done a little better, but still you would want to make it as easy as possible when you're searching for a movie title.
Right.
Not to have to hunt around for, you know, through a sea of different things that aren't the movie. So yeah, it's interesting. I'll just say it. It's very hard. Try to talk and describe It without saying It. That's not the movie title. And it's almost impossible if you're not thinking about it. So, but it made $29.5 million, which was a 51% drop in week three. So still making a ton of money. And that's third week, only $10 million less than Kingsman.
That's crazy.
Opening. So $265.8 million domestic and overseas. It has almost $200 million now. So we're talking about $450 million on a $35 million budget, almost $500 million in 3 weeks.
There's no way they saw that coming.
No, and again,
I think they knew they had a hit,
yeah.
But I don't think they saw that they had a juggernaut.
Yeah, I agree, and we talked about it many times. We've mentioned since the first trailers, we all knew that it would be huge, but never, I didn't think in 3 weeks it would make $500 million. Like, that is stellar, but it deserves every penny of it.
Yeah.
That's the thing. If you're talking about movies making a ton of money, this one is...
It's also interesting how often the studios are like... Oh, we have to make this movie PG-13, like Dark Tower.
Right.
You know, and here's a perfect example of you don't. If you just make the good movie, more often than not, there are certainly exceptions to the rule of good movies that fall through the cracks, but more often than not, if you just make the movie properly, people will find it.
Right. Absolutely. So good for that one. I'm really happy that it's making money. Number three, another new movie this weekend. There actually, I believe, were six new movies this weekend. So this was not a light weekend for film at all. But finally, another kids movie aside from, I think, was it Leap? That was the only one out for a while, right?
Yeah, I believe so.
That was the one that I think was just making money by default.
Yeah.
But the Lego Ninjago movie. So this is produced by people that were involved with the Lego movie and the Lego Batman movie. So Chris McKay, I believe, was a producer on this one. So it's got that same kind of pedigree. And it made $22 million opening weekend. So, you know, it's nothing like a Disney movie opening. But still, I don't know that these movies have a huge budget. So
no.
$22 million for the Lego Ninjago movie. I feel like that's probably okay. I mean,
yeah, and I think it definitely helps that overall brand. I mean, I know I always, when the kids are looking at Legos, I'm like, Ninjago. Pff,
yeah.
Yeah. Like, that's, you know.
Right,
now,
right.
I didn't even know this was a thing until this week.
Whenever I see the Lego Ninjago stuff, I'm like, no, your dad has a job. We can get the good Legos.
But, you know, it is a, obviously they have Lego sets. The whole point of any of these things is to sell Lego sets. But they have.
What?
Yeah, right?
These aren't artistic, purely artistic endeavors?
Crazy. Except, I seriously think the Lego Batman movie is one of the best Batman films of all time. I love that movie. But in general, these things are just like Transformers. The show was meant to sell the toys.
They're more than meets the eye.
Yeah, exactly. And we'll get in depth into that one day, but we don't have time for the art discussion. So, but they have the Lego sets, of course, and then they also have a show, which I think you can watch a season or two on Netflix. So this is...
So does the show, like the... So the I've seen the trailers for the movie, and it definitely is following the Lego cinematic universe. It feels weird to say that out loud.
right.
But there's a comedic tone that these Lego movies have had. Does the Lego show have that same tone? Do we know?
I think they try to replicate it. So I've seen a few episodes of it. I watched it with Ryan. This was a couple years ago now, but I think they joke around. The characters try to be funny. Like, they have a sensei. The ninjas have a sensei, and he looks kind of like a Mr. Miyagi type, if I can remember correctly. But, you know, the ninjas who are kids, they do silly stuff, and then, you know, it's like, he's like, oh, well, these kids, you know, it's funny.
The Lego movies are very meta, and they're very self-aware. Is the show like that?
Yeah, I mean, it's not as much as the films,
right?
But I still think that they do things like that. I mean, gotcha. So they try to keep the tone fairly consistent. So, yeah, and this has a lot of stars, though. I think, isn't Kumail Nanjiani in this? Jackie Chan plays the sensei, I think the guy I was talking about. It's Jackie Chan, Justin Theroux, Dave Franco, Olivia Munn, Michael Pena, and then I feel like Kumail Nanjiani's in it. I think he has to with that last name. It sounds so similar to Ninja, right?
Yeah,
like, you kind of have to.
His last name is practically Ninjago.
Yeah, exactly. I think he may own stock in it. So, you know, it's got a lot of names in it, and it's a property that I think kids do follow up because it has a television show. So, you know, maybe this is one that will stick around if there's not another kids movie, and it might make $20 million this weekend, and it might make $15 million next. So they may end up making a decent amount of money off this one. So,
well, and that's a secondary Lego property as well.
Yeah.
And they own it outright, don't they?
You mean
like they had to license Batman, obviously,
right?
But they created Ninjago,
sure, yeah.
Right?
It's Lego's thing, you know. I mean, I don't know the exact technicalities, but it is not something that existed and then they licensed it. As in, whoever created it, either it was Lego or someone with Lego originally,
right? So they get to they don't have to share that money.
Sure, exactly. So we'll see what happens in the following weeks. But $22 million on a budget that is not listed, and we'll see. Number four, American Assassin. That's a movie that none of us saw, but Brad actually saw it.
It was just okay to me. Keaton was the best part. I think that's what I told you when I talked to you about it. But I didn't care about the main character at all.
That's the kid from the Maze Runner series.
Correct, yeah. And that was what one of my friends was really excited about, was him getting a new franchise to be a part of, because this could be more than just one movie. But
oh, I see.
I didn't care. Like, the very beginning scene of it was so unsettling to me that, like, it kind of wavered me off a little bit. And then throughout the movie.
So just to recap, the opening scene, I don't know what happens in the opening scene, but the opening scene was unsettling. But you love the movie where they ate a baby.
Yeah. Yeah, yes or no?
That was in the last 5 minutes of that
movie.
It's a
yes or no question.
Yeah. It's a, yeah. No,
I did. Yes.
Yeah. Your Honor, permission to treat. Permission to treat as a hostile witness. Yes or no? You like the movie where they ate
at
a baby?
At that point, yeah, I got nothing on that.
No, I'm just teasing. Like,
I know.
Honestly, my problem wasn't the baby eating.
Yeah.
No.
Because they're delicious.
So, going back to American Assassin, so are there good action sequences in it? Or, I mean,
yeah, there was some good parts. You know, I really don't remember much of it. I was so checked out. Fair enough.
Does the logo look exactly like Assassin's Creed? Because it looked like there. Do you notice the font and the coloring of the logo? It's like, because the movie had Assassin in it, they made the logo look like Assassin's Creed.
I'd have to see it again. I don't.
The
don't
game
recall.
Series. I mean, obviously the movie used a similar as well, but the games have like the red font and the silver font or whatever. And like, I noticed that they used it. I'm like, really? Can they do that without getting sued? Like, that seems like such a ripoff.
Yeah, there are all sorts of things you can do from a graphic design standpoint that will be evocative of a logo without actually being the logo. So, yeah. Like, working at the Family Arena, we did some shows with Cinematic Titanic, mm-hmm. which are the guys, a lot of the guys from Mystery Science Theater 3000. So this is in that fallow period before it came back with the huge Kickstarter. And so they were allowed to say, featuring the creator and original cast of Mystery Science Theater 3000. They could say that, but they couldn't use the logo.
Okay.
And so I had my friend Mark Jackson, who actually created the Real Spoilers logo, right? I had him, I told him I wanted a logo that looked like, that would be, that would create the impression that I had used the Mystery Science Theater 3000 logo, but if you put them side by side, it was not the Mystery Science Theater 3000 logo. Because, I, you know, obviously, people that, a lot of people didn't know, we did like one of the, I think ours was like the third ever Cinematic Titanic show. Sure. And the first one was like a private show for ILM, and then the other one was like in their hometown of Minneapolis. So like we were their kind of test market of a hard ticket show where they didn't have a built-in crowd.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, we really got to spoon feed to people what this is. And so I had to get all the artwork that we created approved. So I sent it over to Joel, and he's like, whoa, whoa, whoa. He's like, you can't use the Mystery Science Theater 3000 logo.
Oh, that's funny.
And the, so that's his logo.
This is Joel.
This is
like,
Joel,
right.
Like the Joel from Mystery Science Theater. And I was,
isn't Joel Podston.
Right. Like, yeah. And I was like, no, no, no. I'm like, put them side by side and you'll see that they're not the same logo. And when you put them side, they looked nothing alike.
Oh,
and he's
great.
Like, holy cow. He's like, that was crazy. He's like, I was like, oh my God, they're going to get so mad at us. And he's like, but you're right. They're not the same thing at all. And I'm like, not at all. And so I like, I wonder if you put them side by side, how similar, or if they played that kind of mind game.
No,
with you.
Yeah, I wonder. I don't really care to look into it, but but you're right. It could be very possible. But
if
whenever,
you were to do the work to put them together, I would look at it. But I'm not.
Yeah,
gonna
right, exactly.
But I'm not going to be that person.
Exactly. Yes. But thank you for the thought. I mean, that is an interesting point. So anyway, American Assassin, $6 million in week two. It is now around $26 million on a $33 million budget, $6 million overseas. So, you know, it's just about made its money back.
See, if they want to make more monies overseas, they should change the name to American Assassinated. And then the other countries would be like, now that's a movie I'd go see.
Talk about making America look bad. This movie that we're going to talk about today.
Oh, yeah.
Well, I mean, we'll get into it next episode, but geez, it doesn't make us look too good.
It does not.
I think that might have been a social commentary. But anyway, number five, Home Again. That's the movie where Reese goes home again, right?
So I've been told.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, if you want to see Linnea's review, join the League of Show Shares, and you can read it there. But Home Again brought in $3.4 million, a 34% drop. So a small drop for that one. $22.5 million domestic, and no money overseas on that. But it only had a $12 million budget. So it's honestly made just about as much money as American Assassin with a third of the budget. So mathematically, that works out a bit better for them. Number six, Mother. So look at that. It dropped to number six in week two, as we all predicted it would. $3.2 million is a 58% drop.
Okay, but I got to say this. Yeah. I really think they're steering into the skid by embracing the F cinema score, because for a movie that has that lousy of word of mouth to only drop 58%.
True.
That's not that bad of a drop.
No, that's true.
Considering the horrible word of mouth on the
sure
film.
No, I mean, if you add up all the evidence presented here, it really isn't as bad as it could have been. But you know, when you have a good movie, when you have a movie that people love, critics, audiences, everything, you can have a movie be number one for several weeks in a row or stay around number two. And you know, this is,
oh sure, this is not what they had hoped for.
Right. No, but you're right, it could be worse. It's just we all knew it would take a big drop, though, because there's no way that after the word of mouth that thing was going to stay up.
I honestly thought the drop would have been bigger than 58%.
Really? Like out of the top 10.
Because there's a lot of hits that come out and drop 58% in week two.
Sure.
Now, dropping 58% in week two when you made $140 million in week one is a lot different than dropping 58% when you made $7 million in week one. But still, based on how much vitriol has been thrown at this film, I really thought we would have seen a drop like 65 or 70%.
Yeah, well, maybe they'll make back their budget someday. Right now they're in sixth place for the week, and they've made one third of their budget back. And you know, of course, they only get about a third to half of that money, so they got a bit to go.
Well, I mean, I think they'll probably make it back on the merchandising and the toys.
Oh, you think so?
Yeah. I was just at Whole Foods the other day, and there was mother-themed edible gummy babies. Oh, God. And here's the thing.
At least you didn't make a salsa joke.
Yeah, here's the thing. If you're going to get the gummy babies, right, spend the extra money, get the ones that have just a little bit of juice inside. That's what I recommend. Dan is not here, and neither is his maraca. So there will be lots of baby jokes.
24 minutes in, baby. Okay, just a note for myself. Coming in at, well, let's see. Does Mother have any money overseas? Yes, it has $7 million overseas. So don't count out the overseas crowd. It's about 18 or 20 million total. So there's that.
We're getting there.
Yep, it's getting there, slowly but surely. Number 7, Friend Request. That is another new film, and wow, opening to number 7. I would have thought it would have opened a little higher, and Brad, you actually saw that film.
Yeah, it doesn't deserve to be any higher than what it's
really
at.
That no. bad.
Yeah.
But you said that there's a review on reviewstl.com if you want the full thing, but you said that it kind of had you at one point, though. It had potential.
At the beginning, I thought it was kind of creative, and I think looking back on it, the audience that I watched it with made it more thrilling than it actually was.
Were you at the screening on Tuesday?
Wednesday?
Yeah. Okay, yeah, I was at the same screening. Oh. That crowd.
Really?
Yeah, that crowd was eating that movie up.
Yeah.
They really, really were. Way more than a lot of horror movies I've seen lately, like Annabelle or something. Like, yeah. they were really into it. And I think I'm a little kinder to the film than you are, but it's not a good movie. But I said on the radio that in the same way that your children use French fries as a ketchup delivery system, this is a jump scare delivery system.
Okay.
And so, it's not, the story that surrounds it is kind of meh. And there was a moment when it could have been kind of clever in a millennial kind of way, but it just really never over the hump. But the jump scares...
The jump scares were on point. I liked them.
And I don't like jump scares, but yeah. They were good. They were effective.
There were a couple of them that really got me.
Yeah.
You know, and I don't usually jump like that. But
so, isn't there another movie that was a social media horror film that came out a year or two ago?
Unfriended.
Unfriended.
I think this exists because Unfriended did so well.
So, okay, if I were to do a blind man synopsis, that's a callback we haven't talked about in a long time.
That
but
is.
If I had a horror movie and it was called Friend Request, what I would guess is that these students, these high school kids, are receiving a mysterious friend request, and whoever is getting the friend request is dying, and maybe the pictures posted on social media is of their deaths. What is this movie about? I have no idea.
It's kind of sort of, they're in college, and there's this girl that has no friends in real life or on Facebook. She sends a friend request, and then she just gets really kind of clingy.
Very clingy.
Yeah, and so, she's like what a 50-year-old thinks a goth teenager these days looks like, so like that's kind of sad. And so then the heroine of the film unfriends her, and then the girl gets really mad and commits suicide.
Oh.
And but then basically haunts her from the grave by basically embarrassing her on social media, like that.
And you see the main character's friends list drop. Like, throughout the movie, they'll bring up her entire friend count, and you see it start dwindling down because her goal is to make her feel lonely and have no friends like she did.
Yeah.
So and now that we're sitting here talking about it, I'm thinking that the title of this movie should have been Unfriended. Because I know it can't be, it's what provokes like the whole rest of the story is by unfriending her. I never saw the first one, so I can't compare it.
Yeah, no.
Unfriended was clever because, like, you know, we talk about found footage movies. This was basically, movie was entirely kind of on Skype.
Yeah.
It was them talking to each other on video chat. And so you, at some point you might have 5 or 6 windows going simultaneously of them all talking to each other while things are happening in the background of one. And so, like, I'm making it sound a lot better than it was.
Yeah.
It was,
but there was some creative,
but there was some really stellar editing and continuity work. you know.
Right, to have something happen in one video and to film it happening at the same time or whatever. Yeah, I mean, that does take some skill. So anyway, yeah, friend request, if you want to go see it, number 7 with just under $2 million. And I don't believe it has any money overseas. No, it had a $10 million budget, though, so it's not...
Should it have money overseas? Because didn't it come out last year in Germany?
I think it was a German film, and this is an American remake. Is what... It was a German movie first.
Okay.
As I think, you know, and that this is the American version
of it.
Okay,
gotcha. All right, I thought it had a release early. Because if you look it up on IMDb, it says it has a release date of 2016.
Yeah. Oh, maybe so I'm mistaken. I heard somebody talking that it was German, but I thought it was a German.
Yeah, actually, if the numbers are correct, going to Box Office Mojo, it looks like it was released in 10 countries overseas in 2016. And it made $2.4 million in Germany. It made $2.1 million in the UK. And, you know, I'm just quickly adding up the totals of the other one, about $3 million in the other countries combined. So it already had made almost $10 million last year. So it looks like they just bought it and re-released it here. Right.
That's weird.
That's a free $2 million opening weekend for something from a year ago. So, yeah,
This is so weird. Like, why would you roll out the movie in Germany first? An English language film.
Right.
Like,
yeah. I mean, I guess it maybe is a German film, but still English language. And someone thought, well, maybe a distributor bought it or the American rights and just thought, well,
yeah,
it's free money. It's found money. So.
Yeah.
Or they took notes from Leap. Did the same thing.
Right.
No, I mean, it clearly wasn't dubbed. Yeah. You know what I mean? Yeah. So, I don't know.
That's interesting. So anyway, now that we're talking about it just being free money, that doesn't seem so bad. Number 7 with $2 million. Number 8, The Hitman's Bodyguard. Jeez, talk about them sticking around still. $1.8 million for that one is only a 48% drop in week 6. 73.5 million domestic so far, and it has another 71.5 overseas. So, I mean, that one's, you know, approaching the 150 million worldwide on a $30 million budget. That's a decent amount.
Yeah, I think that's, and especially the way it just keeps kind of chugging along.
It does. It's one that is sticking around and just doesn't seem to go away. And I guess, again, rated R comedies, we have a lot of horror films, especially around this time of the year. But if you want to see a rated R comedy, that's pretty much it. So.
Yeah.
Well, it's not it. It's The Hitman's Bodyguard, but you know what I mean.
Right, yes. Damn you, it.
Right? Screwing us up. Where it's going to take a long time before we can forget that movie exists. Number 9, Stronger. What is that? $1.5 million.
It's a sequel to Strong.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Yeah. That's clever how they did that.
It was.
Yeah, that was really good. Did anyone see that?
No, I honestly don't know what that is.
Oh, you're telling me it's not really the sequel to Strong? Damn.
Sorry,
you.
Sorry, I tricked you.
Oh, you tricked me so much.
Me and my trickery.
Yeah, well,
it's Jeff Bowman loses both of his legs when... it's the Boston Marathon movie. Jeff Bowman loses both of his legs when two bombs explode during the Boston Marathon on April 15th, 2013, after a week. So I guess it's kind of a prequel to Patriot's Day?
Oh, would it be? It would be a sequel to Patriot's Day?
Or I guess a prequel.
Oh, this...
Well, Patriot's Day was the Boston Marathon movie, yeah. Right? So this would... I guess it would run concurrently.
Yeah.
I guess, depending on how far the story goes. After regaining consciousness in the hospital, Jeff is able to help law enforcement identify one of the suspects, but his own battle is just beginning.
Yeah, I think I saw a trailer for this. This is Jake Gyllenhaal. I mean, he's a great actor.
He actually cut his legs off for this movie.
Yeah, I mean, he's not Jared Leto. Let's not go, you know, he's not that much of a...
You don't want to know what the actors in Mother did.
Surprised Jared Leto wasn't in that movie. I mean, that would be a perfect...
He played the baby.
Oh, is that...
He did.
He really went method.
He played
the
baby.
He reverse-aged himself to a baby and then let them...
And then let them eat him. And then when they got him out, that was his performance of the Joker.
Wow.
Spot on.
Yeah,
oh,
it's just
gosh,
the movie
perfect.
Had a delayed release, so...
Wow.
Sometimes eating a baby will cause a delayed release. They can log you up.
No, I think
it's all the Enfamil. You don't want one that's been fed Enfamil. That's where it gets you.
So I think Requiem for a Dream is one of Darren Aronofsky's best films. I love that movie. It's from 2000.
Can you really love Requiem for a Dream.
Tough to watch.
You can admire Requiem for a Dream, but I don't know that you can love.
Yeah,
Requiem
for a Dream. I mean, it's not like one like Friday night, like, oh, let's watch Requiem for a Dream. But I mean, as a fan of film, it is a fantastic.
We should do that sometime for a special episode. The best movie you'll never watch again. Like Requiem for a Dream, Schindler's List, like the you know, like movies that were like really good, and but like no.
Yeah,
it's just really tough to sit down and take
That'd
a second
fun.
Bite at that apple. Yeah.
But that movie was 17 years ago and one of his best films, and it was only his second feature he ever made. And he doesn't use Jared Leto. It's just interesting. I would think that someone that, you know, would...
He doesn't...
He doesn't have a troupe, no.
Yeah, he doesn't seem to be one of those directors that has a troupe that, you know, like in the same way that, you know, Robert Altman did.
Right.
Or
Scorsese.
He doesn't seem to keep going back to the same
people. No, it really is true. It's just he's such a good actor. He's an Oscar-winning actor now, and I would just think that with him being in one of his first... It was his first, you know, big release. Pi was pretty art house.
And Pi got him noticed, but it certainly was not on the average film-goer's radar.
Yeah, I wonder if he'll ever use Leto again, I mean, down the road if there's some project where... But anyway...
Well, he almost did a Batman movie, right?
Yeah. That's right.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Year one.
Yeah. He was going to be, I think that would have been amazing.
Yeah.
You know,
It's terrible if you read it.
Oh, is
it? They changed the year one story. You can look it up. I mean, I won't do it now. Maybe I'll share it on the League of Show Shares, but look up what Aronofsky's year one is. The reason it didn't get made was because he wanted to change so much stuff. And they're just like, no.
Batman was going to eat a baby.
Yeah. He's been trying to do this for a while now.
He's like, hear me out. Batman eats a baby. What do you think? And they were like, right this way, sir.
They're like, you know Robin? You know how he adopts Robin in the comics?
What if he eats Robin?
Real quick, since we have time, we're almost through the top 10, and we're only 30 minutes into this thing. I'm going to tell you the differences between the year one comic, which is a Frank Miller comic.
Yes.
It's a really good comic from before.
Heard of it.
Yes. Yeah. Before, but for the listeners, not for you. This is a Frank Miller comic, a really good story about Batman becoming Batman, basically. Here's the differences between that comic and Aronofsky's film. After Bruce Wayne's parents are shot, Bruce loses his fortune and becomes homeless. Alfred's character changed to an African-American man named Little Al, who runs an auto repair shop and acts as Bruce's mentor.
Well, I mean, I got to pump the brakes right there. So in an effort to increase the minority representation in your film, you took the manservant and made him black.
But he's Little Al now, and he runs an auto shop.
I'm sure it's probably Little Al, right?
Well, this was maybe around the time of Little John and the East Side Boys. It was a fairly popular...
it's still around.
Oh, sure.
Lil Uzi Vert just had the number one album in the country.
There you go. So there you go.
Bruce... I know you didn't expect me to bust that out, did you?
Right? Yeah. Can you bust out some rhymes?
No.
Okay.
I gave that up when I moved out of North County.
Oh, okay.
Pretty street, though.
The story of Eminem and 8 Mile, that was actually
based on me. He stole it all. He stole all of that from me.
Wow.
There should be an Oscar in this room.
There should be.
There should.
I was robbed.
Bruce doesn't travel the world. He instead reads books on various types of combat and practices them.
I'm picturing that kid on the internet that had the katana sword.
The lightsaber? Star Wars.
The sword kid. The sword or was it the sticks? He was hitting jugs of water. Well, no, he had a big giant...
The bottle of water and the knife. Yeah. He's hitting them, yeah.
That's your Batman. Yeah.
Unlike the comic, it would have focused more on Bruce. Bruce uses mostly chemical-based weapons when fighting, like the original Bill Finger Batman. Bruce Wayne gets his persona from an intertwined T and W on a ring he wore while fighting crime that was mistaken for a bat. Many key scenes from the comic are omitted from the script. That's just a difference.
Clearly.
The Batmobile and Batcave are present. Okay.
Yeah.
Gordon has lived in Gotham for years and is trying to leave for the sake of his pregnant wife. Gordon's wife is renamed Anne. Carmine Falcone.
I don't get stuff like that. Like, why?
Let's just change it.
Let's just color in.
Yeah. Carmine Falcone is omitted from the script, and Jillian B. Loeb would have replaced him as the master of the organized crime in the city.
And Jillian? Oh. And Jillian was going to be in this movie?
Slurred that. Selena Kyle would have been African American and would have had more prominent role.
And also been his servant.
She's named Lil Selena, I believe.
Yeah.
In the script.
She basically just brings him coffee the whole time.
Gordon's character would have been suicidal. The Batmobile would have been a Lincoln Continental. And there would have been many new characters.
Because there's going to be a black guy driving it. It's got to be a Lincoln now, right?
Little Al's Auto Shop.
Right, that's right. Yeah. It's like...
And I wonder why this movie didn't get made. And there would have been many new characters that were not in the comic. So he just decided to scrap stuff from the comic and just invent stuff.
Like, if you have your own Batman story to tell, I'm okay with that. But then don't call it year one. Like, that's...
Why are you adapting a film and then not adapting anything?
Right. For it?
I mean, I guess there is a guy named Batman in this version. Right. But other than that, it's pretty different. So anyway, that was Darren Aronofsky's Batman. You can go look at some concept art. I mean, it looked okay. It's funny, he had the really long ears, like almost like the original Batman drawing, so it's like they used a really old school type look.
I'm a proponent of long ears.
Yeah.
Now, I've never seen them done in film, so it might look ridiculous
right.
in real life, but in the comic books,
yeah.
I really like the long, the kind of like yeah. arch toward each other.
Mm-hmm.
Like I'm a fan of that.
Yeah. So, I mean, the art looks okay. It's not like it, you know, the concepts are pretty cool looking. So go check them out online. Maybe we'll post a link to them. But yeah, Aronofsky did not get that film. They were just like, no,
that's a shame. I never read that. Cause I was like, I kind of like the idea of a Darren Aronofsky Batman.
Right.
Like that sounds,
without reading that, everyone did. I was in the same boat. I'm like, oh, yeah. Dark and kind of like that could be a really cool tone to it. But when you see the changes he wanted to make, it's like, I mean, this is a guy making movies like Mother and The Fountain. Like, this guy is making film that is not your standard film. And he isn't just going to make a Batman movie like, you know, Spielberg if he made a Batman movie. You know what I mean? He's not going to change a bunch of stuff. He's going to make a really good looking Batman movie.
I think Spielberg would make an awful Batman movie.
Yeah, I agree.
I think he'd make a good Superman movie.
Yeah, yeah.
I think he'd make an awful Batman movie.
That's true. I would agree
with
that.
He's just not dark on the inside.
Yeah.
You know? Like, I don't think he has it in him. In the same way that, you know, they wanted him to make a James Bond movie, and he decided to do Raiders instead.
Mm.
And I don't think he's got a James Bond movie in him either. I think you can't have an auteur do a James Bond movie.
Yeah.
You know, when people talk about like Quentin Tarantino, that would be awful.
No.
He would come in and Quentin Tarantino up the joint.
Right.
Like, I don't need James Bond talking about how much he loved Benny Hill growing up or something. You know what I mean? Like,
right.
Like, I don't need it. That's not what I'm here for.
Right, exactly. So anyway, just stick to your art house, Darren Aronofsky. Don't touch Batman if that's
well,
what
based
you're doing
on the
it.
Box office of Mother, I think he'll be sticking
to
art house.
That?
I don't
okay.
think he's in any danger after Noah and Mother yeah. of them handing him the reins of Suicide Squad.
There you go. Well, seeing how that movie turned out, now I'm kind of thinking that maybe
it
I would
couldn't
watch.
Have been worse.
Yeah. Coming in at...
And Darren Aronofsky says it couldn't be worse. Hold my baby.
Right. And rounding out the top 10, so just narrowly beating out Spider-Man Homecoming, who has now moved to the 11th spot, Wind River, who I think I touched on that film last week. I did see it. It's an excellent film. It made $1.25 million, which is a 51% drop. It is now at $31 million on an $11 million budget. Like I said, it's excellent. Go see it. I know, Brad, you've seen it.
Yeah, I loved it.
It's one of the best of the year, wouldn't you say?
Yeah.
I really hope that it sticks around in people's memories for Oscar contention, because it's early. It had an August release, and usually those films
It's hard for movies that get released this early to get attention, especially
yeah, exactly.
smaller movies.
Yeah, and because think about it, the November-December release schedule is so rapid. That's where they dump all the Oscar bait, and so it's not like, I mean, this movie's an excellent movie, but when you have 15 to 20 new films in that time period, it's hard to remember what you saw 4 or 5 right. months ago.
Absolutely, because like I think a movie that deserves some Oscar love but will probably be forgotten because it came out in February is Get Out.
Yeah.
I think if for nothing else, for best original screenplay.
Yep.
Wow.
You know, like that. And I think there's a good chance that movie will be completely forgotten because, one, it came out so long ago, and two, because it's a genre movie,
sure.
it's horror, they're going to overlook it, and they shouldn't. They should not.
Wow.
I still think that's my favorite film of the year so far.
I forgot that. I didn't even remember it came out this year. I saw it late. I didn't see it for the podcast, so I checked it out on digital not that long ago. I finally got around to it, and it is such a good movie.
Yeah.
It is so good. And the guy, didn't someone say, maybe we were talking about it, the first guy you see in Get Out that's stolen off the street, that's L
in the new Death Note movie.
In Death Note. That's interesting because I couldn't quite place the actor, but I had seen Get Out recently before I watched Death Note, and so I knew he looked really familiar. But anyway, that's another podcast we have if you want to hear our lovely opinion on Death Note. I know Tom loved it, so.
Oh, it was amazing.
Check that out. But for now, that's the box office.
Well, thank you, Kevin.
You're welcome.
So I guess that's it for this episode. Let's go around the table, and everybody can say where to find them.
This is Brad. You can find me on ReviewSTL.com.
This is Kevin. Follow me on Twitter at Kevin R. Brackett.
And this is Tom. You can follow me on Twitter at Roger Kubert or on Facebook at Facebook.com/Tom O'Keefe. Don't forget, if you want to continue the conversation online, you can find us at Facebook.com/Real Spoilers or at the League of Show Sharers on Facebook or on Twitter at Real Spoilers or just on our website, although you can't really continue a conversation there, at RealSpoilers.com or, should still work, DirtyPirateHookers.com.
Always.
So
I think we tied that up for 50 years. Did we pay for that? Yeah.
Right on. That's great because when they finally make that Dirty Pirate Hookers movie.
Oh, my gosh. Like, we'll be.
Money.
Well, you said the problem we're going to have is the first one will be Dirty Pirate Hooker, right?
Oh.
And then we'll be like, oh, crap. And then the sequel will come out, which will be Dirty Pirate Hookers.
So we're going to have to wait.
And then we got them by the balls.
Right. And then they're not going to go back to Hooker. Like, it will probably be Dirty Pirate Hookers 3.
Why
Dirty
go
Pirate
back Hooker? To a hooker? Like, right. That's the whole point is variety.
Right.
You know, so, you want a sample.
So once we hit the second film in the series, we should be smooth sailing.
Exactly.
Retirement, here we come.
Here we come. So that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we will talk about Kingsman Golden Circle. Shouldn't it be Kingsmen?
Oh, I think because it's the name of a business.
It just seems odd.
Yeah.
Kingsman. But Kingsmen is M-E-N. This is M-A-N.
Yeah. But it's a name. It's not a, like, they're not the Kingsmen. It's like, Kingsman is the name of the organization.
But you're saying Kingsmen, but it's Kingsman.
Yeah, Kingsman. Well, it's, I get what you're saying. Yeah. I totally get it. I also.
Thank God Josh Brolin isn't in this movie.
Oh, I can only wish. We got True Grit guy, though.
That is true.
He'll never stop talking like that.
Somebody flipped the switch. Did he have a stroke? Like, why does he talk like that now? If you go watch old Jeff Bridges movies, he doesn't have the hillbilly mush mouth going on.
Yeah, and he's a fantastic actor. Like, yeah. What was the movie that I loved last year? It's escaping me. The American Western movie with Chris Pine, Hell or High Water.
Yeah,
he was in that. He was so good in, but like he talked like that.
But
that
just,
movie,
all just, of a sudden,
he just.
Yeah.
Ever since True Grit, he talks like that. And so, again, we're not saying he's not a good actor or his performance, but it's interesting. I can't imagine it's a choice like he's like, oh, I'm only going to take roles that happen to need that accent.
Right.
It's like he just, I guess that's him now.
It's so weird.
Yeah.
It's so, so weird. Has there been any journalist that when people talk about sometimes about like, oh, I wish there was a Big Lebowski sequel. No, you don't.
No, because
not if he's going to talk like that, you don't. Like, how weird would that be?
Like in the Big Lebowski, he's like, hey, man, like he's just totally, he just like, you can understand everything. It's enunciated. He just talks normal Jeff Bridges.
Yeah.
You're right. I forgot that. I mean, that's so long ago. Was that like 99? Big Lebowski was.
I think it's older than that.
Is it really?
I think it's like
97, 99. I thought
it.
It's right around that time.
Yeah. I want to say 99, but it's we're approaching 20 years. Is
98.
Okay. Okay.
Yeah, well, I thought it was older than that. Yeah.
So almost 20 years old.
Yeah.
And you're right. Yeah, he doesn't talk. So, yeah, I'm pretty sure I remember it being True Grit because he did that, and it made total sense for that movie.
Yeah.
And then
I think it was because it was True Grit, and then he rolled into that... The cowboy singing movie.
Crazy Heart.
Yeah, Crazy Heart.
And it was like, okay, that still makes sense. And then he did R.I.P.D. and you're like, okay, I guess like while you're in that mode.
Right,
like,
that's why that one was where it was, the first one was really weird. Because oh, he's still talking, but he's in like this futuristic.
Yeah, but it's like, okay. Uh-huh. And then... Yeah, and then he played
a Shakespeare film.
He played
a
British butler.
Yeah. Like, hold on here. This doesn't quite work out. But speaking of, just real quick, I saw a preview before the movie for the Gary Oldman in the Churchill movie.
Uh-huh.
Holy cow.
Yeah, Gary Oldman is like, somebody needs to give me a goddamn Oscar, and they need to give it to me goddamn now. That's what Gary Oldman is saying.
Exactly.
He's like, hello, the reason you're not giving me an Oscar is because I'm so good you don't realize I'm in these movies.
Yeah, right.
Like that's so hey everybody over here. Yeah. It's Gary Oldman.
This
not
is...
looking like Gary Oldman doing an un-Gary Oldman thing.
This...
I played Sid Vicious and Winston Churchill.
Yeah.
Wrap your head around that.
This is Gary Oldman in Give Me an Oscar.
Yes.
Give me a GD Oscar for the poster, because you know, you want people to buy tickets and be able to say
Well, maybe if it's R, I guess it doesn't matter. So,
yeah.
So anyway, that's it for this episode. Coming up on the next one, we'll talk about King's Man or King's Men's, not starring Josh Brolin. Until then, you've been warned.
And now I understand, and so I face the final curtain. You can't. I'm not a queer, I state my case, of which I'm certain. I've lived a life that's full, and each and every highway, and that much more than this, I've lived it all.
Normally, being a little extra can be a bit much, but when it comes to healthcare, it pays to be extra. And United Healthcare makes it easy with Health Protector Guard fixed indemnity insurance plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they supplement your primary plan, helping you manage out-of-pocket costs without the usual requirements and restrictions like deductibles and enrollment periods. So when it comes to covering your medical bills, you can feel good about being a little extra. Visit uh1.com to find the Health Protector Guard plan for you.
Even when we're on a budget, we still deserve nice things. Quince is a place to scoop up stunning high-end goods for 50 to 80% less than similar brands. They have buttery soft cashmere sweaters starting at $50, luxurious Italian leather bags, and so much more. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. Get the high-end goods you'll love without the high price tag with Quince. Go to quince.com/style for free shipping and 365-day returns.